Hi guys, welcome to Explain It To Me. This is a weekly podcast in which I, Dr. Bill Okoda, talk to you guys about a subject in neurology and explain it in less than 10 minutes. I'm a board certified neurologist and epileptologist. Let's get started. Today we'll talk about essential tremor. So what is essential tremor? Essential tremor is a neurological condition in which the person experiences a tremor without any obvious cause. The tremor is usually something that is a large amplitude rhythmic movements. It affects both hands, but sometimes can only affect one hand, sometimes can affect one hand worse than the other hand. So it is variable, but it is a tremor that occurs as you're doing something. So if you're reaching for something, if you're trying to grab something, if you're trying to eat, the tremor can be really annoying. It can make it hard for you to do all of those things. That's what separates also that tremor from something like Parkinson's tremor, because Parkinson's tremor is a tremor at rest. Although the tremor can make things worse, definitely when you're sitting, the tremor also occurs. So essential tremor is not a tremor that happens when you're sitting at rest. It's worse when you're trying to do something, whereas Parkinson's tremor is a tremor that comes on as you're sitting down, and can get worse also while you're doing something, but it kind of happens all the time. The tremor at rest portion is the most important. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is, you know, everyone who has a tremor is always worried about Parkinson's, so that's one way to differentiate it. Also, is Parkinson's tremor is fine, which means it's a very small amplitude tremor. It almost looks like you're rolling a pill. We call it a pill rolling tremor, whereas with essential tremor, it's a lot larger, a lot of bigger movements. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, I mentioned movement of the arms, but the tremor can also affect your arms, your legs, your trunk, your head, even your vocal cords. You know, the average person with essential tremor first receives a diagnosis when they're about 45 years old. So honestly, it's not something that affects all age groups. I've seen it younger. An important thing to note is that it is also called benign tremor or familial tremor. Benign tremor is because it's not a dangerous tremor as compared to something like, again, Parkinson's, which indicates a bigger problem. That doesn't mean that it's not something that's annoying. Of course it is, but we either call it a benign tremor or a familiar essential tremor, because there is a familiar link to it that we have discovered. The other thing that's notable about this tremor is it gets better with alcohol and other benzodiazepines, but that's not to say that's the way we treat it, because of course relying on those things to make your tremor better is going to lead to a whole slew of other issues. So back to the genetic mutation that may or may not be causing this, we do know that many family members who have essential tremor also have similar like types of tremors. If it's vocal, it's vocal in the other person. It comes on around the same time of age. The actual gene is something that has not been fully localized yet, but we are working on it. I think ultimately it is something that won't matter too much, because if you have it, you just have it. I think a lot of the times the focus comes on diagnosis and treatment. And it is, you know, another thing I should say is the essential tremor tends to be autosomal dominant. So you have about a 50% chance of passing it on. The gene, if you're interested, is the ETM1 gene, also called the FET1 gene. It's on chromosome 3. And there's also something called the ETM2 gene on chromosome 2. However, a lot of the times we don't do the genetics, just because Once you have it, it's the treatment that matters. And it's also kind of assumed that if you do have it, the chance of you passing it on can be about 50%, if not higher. So again, the symptoms of essential tremor, like I mentioned, about 90% of them have the upper extremity hand tremor, but it can also affect your voice, it can affect your head, it can affect your spine, your lower extremities, it can affect a lot of things. You can have shaking, involuntary movements, twitching, difficulty writing, difficulty with balance or walking. You can also find that the symptoms are worse when you're really, really tired, if you're doing too much caffeine or stimulants, if you're really stressed out. So those are some things to keep in mind. There are other people with this type of tremor where it's not genetic and we just don't know why. So another thing to keep in mind is if your tremor started because of something like tumor or stroke or trauma to the head, it likely is an essential tremor, and that's a diagnosis that needs to be made and clarified. The treatment can be different. A lot of people do also have seizures that can look like tremors after head injury. So again, the diagnosis and treatment is really, really important in this case. So who's at risk for essential tremor? Genetics, like we talked about, age, patients who are, around 65, I think, is the highest age group that's at highest risk, about 5%. It is diagnosed younger than that, as we said. Usually the diagnosis is in the 40s, but the patients who are most at risk are patients who are 65 and above. And I think a lot of that is just, also genetic. If someone started having this as they were getting older, that's around the same age group that it's going to affect as well. Environmental factors can also be playing a role, right? Like we talk about stress and stimulant usage can make things worse. So it's possible that if you've been exposed to all that, you're diagnosed even earlier than your 40s or your 60s. The diagnosis is done with the neurologist. They'll do some workup to make sure there isn't anything else going on. Like I said, Parkinson's is a thing most people are worried about, but with Parkinson's, the tremor is resting. There's usually, again, no family history. It's a pill rolling resting tremor. And with Parkinson's, you have slower movements. You're also rigid, which you don't see with essential tremor. The treatment, you can use benzodiazepines, but there is a dependence risk there. So most doctors don't. We use beta blockers, which are blood pressure medications, but they also treat anxiety, they also treat migraines, they treat a whole bunch of other stuff, including essential tremor. Primidone is another medication. It is an old anti-seizure medication, but it also is used in the specific movement disorder. For some people, Botox is helpful. I haven't seen it be used too much for essential tremor, but if your tremor is really bad, you can. Lastly, if you do have a really bad tremor, deep brain stimulation can be helpful. The reasoning this is helpful is similar to that of Parkinson's. It can affect your thalamic nuclei, which help with your movement output and input in your basal ganglia, which is the deep part of the brain. That's kind of it. When it comes to essential tremor, like I said, genetics are a big factor. If you know someone who has it, someone in the family, your parent, you're higher at risk for having it. But generally, I would say if this is something you're concerned about or you're worried you have it, definitely get evaluated by a neurologist. We need to make sure nothing else is going on. And then once it's diagnosed, the treatment for most people, beta blockers do work fairly well, but can be escalated to more serious treatments like DBS or surgery. Even a heavier medication like primidone can be used, but there is treatment and a lot of patients do get better. So this concludes the episode on essential tremor. Let me know if you have any questions. Otherwise, we will chat again next week. Thank you for joining.